John and I were joking because he got such a hard reading assignment in the book of Joshua. I mean, he deserves a break once in a while. When I was new here at Windsor, a little more than 11 years ago, I purchased a lemon of a vehicle from a guy over near King of Prussia. And, you know, we basically wasted a few thousand dollars on this vehicle and couldn't use it, and we ended up donating it to Habitat or something. So, in our bind, Al Menger said, "You need a car? I got a car for you. It's a PT Cruiser." And I don't know if you can picture Al saying this, but he said, "But I got one condition for you. There's some flames on the side that are magnets. And when you drive my car, these have to stay on it. Do we understand?" And I said, "Yes, sir." So for, a few weeks, we drove this PT Cruiser with the flames of the hot rod on the side. Didn't really have the muscle to go with the flames, but it looked good. So the church is full of unique people brought together. The church itself is a strange place, a local church. What is it that makes a church unique? This morning I was noticing when we start our service and the choir walks up and we walk up who are leading this worship service, we do some bells, and you hear these bells. And in Windsor, when you hear that, I noticed this. About a half a dozen people that were in conversations around the room, they duck. So the bells start, and then the people go like this. And then they walk to their seat. Now that is a unique thing. And we're strange, okay? We're strange. This is unique things that happen here. We are in a world where God wants us to be strange. And he wants us to be strange in certain ways, to be unique in certain ways. And we see that in our passage this morning. You see, in our world is filled with people that are just trying to make it in different ways, just trying to keep their head above water, trying to deal with pressure and stress. And I've noticed this. If you watch television, if you listen to the radio, some people have figured out that there are many people in these conditions, that most people are in it, because you will find TV shows that look for someone that is a great story of someone that is trying to make it under incredible stress and pressure, and then they will do something unique for that person to bless them. The old example of that was Extreme Home Makeover, where you'll find a family with a big medical problem and something, and then they bring in this crew of people. And it always made me cry. So my wife would make fun of me for it. But I would cry at this show. You're like, "Are you crying again?" "Yeah, I'm crying." And it's just such a good thing, because these people had such a weight, such a burden. And then this crew of volunteers comes in and they just turn their story around. You see, the church is supposed to be that in this world. The church is something that God uses to say, there's a kingdom that's different than this world, and you can have a place in it. And the people that are a part of a local church are people that have realized something, people that have been set apart to be strange in a really good way, with good news. And so when we're looking at these few short verses, I want us to see some things that we who are in a church like Windsor Baptist Church, we are set apart, we're made different in this world, and we have been blessed. We've been filled with love and joy and peace. And that is what brings us together and makes us different in this world. When we look at the book of Philippians and these first few verses, we see a church that was started. Our church, Windsor Baptist Church, was started 186, I think, years ago. It was in 1833. And Vincent Baptist Church, at the end of the Second Great Awakening, was seeing lots of people coming to Christ. Lots of people whose hearts were changed, and they realized the goodness and the wholeness of Christ. And they were so far away that they said, we need another church to start over here in this village called Eagle in Euclid. And so they started meeting by the Little Eagle Tavern, which was like the only thing that was here besides farms. And they had a meeting house, and they built that first year in 1833 a baptistry and a changing room. And the land was leased that we're on now for 999 years. And so this group of people in that year, they ended up seeing another, I think it was 65 people. And that was really incredible because there weren't that many people living right here at that time. Lots of people were coming to trust in Christ, and it formed a church. And this church has gone through lots of seasons, lots of ups and downs for 186 years. And we're still here today by God's grace. Well, when we look at Philippians, we can learn lots of lessons. And we want to ask this question. What is it about the Philippian church that set them apart? In these first few verses, I want you to notice this. If you're looking at it, take a look at this. If you're not looking at it, open it up and look at it. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you study ancient literature or you study the background of the Bible, you'll learn that in the Greek culture and then in the Roman culture, it was customary to start a letter like this. Now, if we have a formal letter, what we'll do is we might have letterhead on there and then the address of the recipient and then some kind of a greeting. What they did was very similar. They would say, it's from us, it's to you, and hope you're having a nice day. Something like that. They follow this customary greeting, but when the Apostle Paul writes a letter to a church, and when he writes to the Philippians, there's something unique about it. He uses that customary format, but he says, look at what's in these three parts. The name of Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, the first part says, it's Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. And in the second verse, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what makes the church unique. This is what brings us together and fills us with joy. This is what gives us a unique purpose in this world. It is this person, Jesus Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that brought this church together in Eagle. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ who brought together a people in the city in Macedonia called Philippi. He brought them together. It's an incredible thing. Do you know the story of how the church started in Philippi? You can read about it in Acts chapter 16. What happened was the Apostle Paul, he was set apart and he was trying to take this good news about Jesus to the whole world. And he wanted to go everywhere he could to teach people about Jesus. And one night, he calls it a vision or maybe it was a dream. But in Acts 16, verse 8, it says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And what happened in the dream was a man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And that's how God called him to go to this area called Macedonia. It was very Greek, but then the Romans conquered it and it became a Roman territory. And Philippi, it says it in the passage, it says that it was a leading city. It was a Roman colony and a leading city of the district of Macedonia. This was a very important city. And so Paul says, I'm going to go there. And so he goes. And what happens is, when he goes, there's not a synagogue. It was his normal pattern to go into a city. And what he would do is he would go into a synagogue and he would open the scriptures and he would say, the Messiah has come. And this is what he did. And he would unfold the scriptures wherever they were, from all the scriptures, he would show it's about this person, Jesus Christ. But there wasn't a synagogue in Philippi. There wasn't a group. Now, what you would need at that time, according to the Jewish rules, was you would need 10 men in a town to start a synagogue. If you didn't have that many Jewish men in your community, you couldn't start a Jewish synagogue. So Paul says, I had an idea. He says he supposed that maybe there was a group that would meet for prayer and for worship down by the river. That was a custom that started during the exile to Babylon with Ezekiel. People would start reading God's word together, and they would remember God's law and the things that God had revealed. Well, he went down to the river in Philippi, and he found some people there. And when he was there, it's a pretty amazing thing, he started to share with them the good news. And it says that when he was there on a Sabbath, he went outside the gate to the riverside where he supposed there was a place of prayer. And they sat down and they spoke. They spoke with the people there. And there was a woman there. There were a group of women. And one woman who heard was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. Now, she was wealthy because of what she did. She was making it in the world. And yet she was looking for God and worshiping God, wanting to draw near to God. And this is what it says. Now, Lydia is considered the first convert in Europe. It says, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. She believed and she was baptized. She became a Christian. And then other people started believing. And then when Paul is there and this work is happening, she prevailed on them. And she said, listen, if you have found me faithful, I want you to stay at my place. We've got a big place. Stay there. So they stay there with Lydia and they keep doing their work. And as they're going around in Philippi, this little slave girl walks up to them. And it says that she had a spirit of divination. Literally, the word for divination is python, like a snake, like a serpent. A python that wraps someone up and holds them tightly. And what happened was this spirit was controlling this little girl for magic, for telling people things. It was a demonic spirit. And this little girl she's wrapped up with this pythonic spirit. Okay? And it's causing her to say things and do things which are astounding. And the people that owned this little slave girl were making a lot of money doing this. And so what it says is that Paul got annoyed and he turned to her at one point and he said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it was at that very hour it came out. When the owners saw that their hope of profit was gone, then they grabbed Paul and Silas and they dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And this is when things started to happen that were violent. Paul and Silas get beaten. And what happens is these owners and these people that were angry at Paul and Silas, they were saying, these Jews came into our city and they're messing things up. So they get beaten with rods publicly and thrown into prison. Now, there's this tension, this ethnic tension between these Jews is what they're called. And then these people of Macedonia that had great pride in being Romans. Paul and Silas get thrown into prison. When they're in prison, what's happening? They start singing and praising God. And then that night, there's a great earthquake that shakes things. And it shakes things so much that the chains that were holding the prisoners, they're dislodged. And all the people are in this prison. The prison guard, the guy that's in the jail, the guy that's in charge of the place, was asleep. He wakes up, and what does he see? The gates. The door that holds them in was wide open. And he's ruined. He's ruined. Because if they leave, it's at the penalty of his life. So he pulls out his sword. Now you can imagine Paul and Silas. Paul must have known something was going on. Probably the lights are out. The earthquake just settles and he wakes up. The door is wide open. And he pulls out his sword to kill himself. Paul says, don't do it. We're all here. Just calm down. And then they start a conversation. The man, we don't have all the details, but we have these brief highlights. The man fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is a man that was just trying to make it. And he had so much stress in his life that one earthquake that woke him up and seeing one door that was left open, he was ready to kill himself. Paul and Silas had hope for him. And they bring this hope to him. And this is what he says. This is what people need to know. He said this: "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." So we have this Jewish woman, Lydia, who becomes a Christian. And now we have this man, the jailer, who is a Greek or a Roman, and he's there. And he comes to Christ and he believes. God is changing their hearts. Now, let me ask you this. What was happening in Philippi? What was happening? Was Paul establishing a social group? Yeah, kind of. But there's much more that's happening. What got Paul and Silas into that city? What sent them there? It was the Lord Jesus. He went there and he said, "I want to call some people together. I want to bring them into my kingdom." And so he sent his servants in. And they didn't know what to expect. He didn't say in the dream, "You're going to go there, you're going to get beaten, and you're going to have a nice time at the river, and some nice dinners with people, and you're going to have fruitful ministry, but, oh, and there's going to be a demon-possessed girl," and all this stuff. He didn't say any of that. He just said, "Go." But he was doing something. And so he sent his servants in there. What happened here at Windsor? How did you come into this church? I can tell you, if you're sitting here as a member of this church, as a Christian who's hoping in Christ, it's not because we have everything else in common. It's because we have one thing in common. We have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have found life in Him. In this world where we're trying to make it, we have found something that is beyond this world. We have found someone who brings into our life peace and joy and fills our hearts with love. And so, you know, we're different. I mean, we are different people. We have certain other things in common. I mean, you'll get like a huddle out here talking about the bad calls of the Iowa Penn State game last night. And then other people rolling their eyes like, "Always Penn State." Okay, but we have something in common. Okay? We do. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what this passage is telling us. Different kinds of people were coming to believe. And at the end of Acts chapter 16, the men, Paul and Silas, are getting kicked out. So the magistrates, the guys in charge, after they beat them and after they put them in prison, said, "Oh, yeah, there's these guys in prison. Tell you what, get them out of our town. I don't want to see them again." Basically, that's what they said. "Get them out of here quietly. We don't need any more trouble." Paul says, now, remember what happened. They were beaten, assuming that these were just a couple of Jewish guys that they could mistreat. Didn't have anything to do in their Roman colony, in their Roman city. Paul says, "Huh." Paul speaks to them and he says, "Now you're going to kick us out? We are uncondemned men and we're Roman citizens. And they beat us publicly and they're going to kick us out privately? No way. Go and tell them. They can bring us and take us out of the city themselves." And so this scared the magistrate. They were like, "We beat Roman citizens. They have certain protections being Roman citizens. They were not allowed to do what they did." And they beat Paul and Silas. And then they said, they can kick us out publicly. Now, at the end, this is what happens. They do. They come and they said, "Look, Paul and Silas, we are really sorry." They apologized to them and they took them out. And at the end of this passage, it says this. Now, this is interesting. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, meaning the believers, those that are in Christ, they encouraged them and they departed. Now, who are these brothers, this plural group? These are the people that have been coming to know Christ. What happened in Philippi with their short stay? a church was formed, a community that was strange within Philippi. And Paul writes to them, and he's so happy with them. And you see this when we see this book of Philippians. The whole tone of the way he talks to them, he's so full of joy. He looks at these Philippians and he says, I'm so happy. I just pray with joy when I pray for you. Because this church was flourishing and it was growing and more people were coming to know Christ and their lives were changed. In the first verse, Paul and Timothy, he says, we're writing to you and this is who we are. We are servants. Literally, we are slaves of Christ Jesus. He's not using the term for servants like we would say deacons. He was saying slaves. And in that context, he was saying, look, we have a role. We are serving Christ. And we're serving you because we serve him. We belong to him. And that's who we are. Okay? They're not putting themselves at a very high place. He's not coming in and saying we are great people or elevating themselves. What he's doing is he's introducing himself as a servant of Christ Jesus. And this is unlike so many leaders in this world who would rather glorify themselves or get a little bit of the glory for themselves. Paul and Timothy, who write this letter, they are unlike those leaders because they have a humble servant heart. They've been set free from that game of trying to elevate oneself, of being king of the hill in a church or in a community, in a tribe. An apostle and a pastor working to serve Jesus Christ, working to help this church. And they had a great relationship. You can see the tone of this letter in the Philippians. The tone of the letter shows that they had a great relationship. It's different than like when Paul writes to the Corinthians or when you read the book of Hebrews. You know, there was tension with those letters. There was correction that was needed. The Philippians, you know, it was like a good relationship where you see the person, you're full of joy. I think about my children when they're toddlers, when they're young. And even a little bit when they get bigger, you get home from work or you get home from being out or away and they greet you and they're like, Daddy, hey, it's good to see you. And the relationship is just all joy. It's all joy. There's no tension. You see that, you know what, when Charlie Popjoy sees a teenager, he lights up. Hey, I'm so glad to see you. And there's like this joyful coming together. When Paul writes to the Philippians, that's the tone of this letter. It's full of happiness in the church. Puts a smile on Paul's face. Now, when we look at this book and when we get into it, we can look at lots of themes. Because Paul is helping this church. He's saying, listen, this is what a healthy church should look like. And he teaches them how to grow in Christ, how to suffer. These are lessons that we will learn as we go through the book of Philippians. How to hold to pure teaching. How to love one another. How to have joy as a community that is set apart, how to have the work together of working for the gospel. Why? All of it is because of this person, Jesus Christ, who brings a church together. That's what we are at Windsor Baptist Church. That's what they were in Philippi. Look at what he calls them. He says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. All the saints. This word saints is a Greek word meaning holy ones. What does that word mean? It means to be set apart. So this group of people, they are strange because they are set apart within this city of Philippi, within this world. They are set apart by God, set apart to be made pure, set apart and brought into a relationship with God, set apart from the normal crowd. And brought together. He writes to them, to the overseers and the deacons. First, he addresses the whole church. And then specifically, he talks about the officers within the church, the elders and the deacons. Now, there are different ministries within the church. But the whole church together is a part of this community that belongs to Jesus Christ, that has been healed and changed by him. Look at the third thing he says. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the thing where we want to let it sink in for us. What is it that makes a church different? What is the message when we go around telling people to believe in Jesus, telling people that we believe in Jesus? What are we doing? What are we offering to people? You know, we talk to people and sometimes they think, you know, you Christians, you just want to change me and make me think differently. Well, why? So that when I die, I go to heaven. And most people think that's what it is. That's true. But there is so much more. Look at what he is saying to them right now in this world. What has God brought to us in Christ Jesus? These two words are huge. Grace and peace. In a world where people are stressed and trying to make it, in a world where people are filled with anxiety and they're dealing with pressure, he says, there's peace. Now, what does that word mean, peace? Peace is two things, okay? Peace is a reconciling of differences. Where there was hostility, now there's not. This is what our good news, this is what this person of Jesus Christ brings to people who turn to him, people in this world. We are hostile to God. We are hostile against God, and we are God's enemies until we are reconciled in him. And this is something that happens technically, actually, by the death of Jesus, by him who died on the cross, by the one who suffered, having obeyed God with all of his life. He brings reconciliation between God and people. So the terms are no longer hostile. We are in peace. We now have a good relationship, a loving, kind relationship. What are we offering to people in this world? Not something to just wait for when you die. It's something that happens right now. And this peace fills our hearts. It changes our hearts. In Sunday school this morning, I sat in Tom's class and we looked at what love is. It's God's love that he has shown to people, and he has shown it to us in Christ, in his death and his resurrection. And it's that love that fills our hearts. In fact, at the end of the class, we looked at Romans 5:5. It says that the love of God is poured out into our hearts. And that love in our hearts, it's something that God generates. It's something that God causes to flow out of us. We become different people. And what does it mean that we're different people? God's grace and his peace are in our lives. So his love, having come to us, is something that we experience. This pressure goes away when we know that we are loved because we are reconciled to God. And what does it mean? It means that now we know God. We get to know him right now in this world through Jesus Christ. In this world, we get to have his grace and his peace. Do you know what grace is? You know what grace is? Whenever you look at an enemy, they owe you. And what you do is you give them kindness. That's what God has done to us. That is the good news of the gospel. That's what Paul went into Philippi with. That's what when Lydia heard it down by the river when they were meeting for prayer, she heard it and God opened her heart to hear God's word and changed her life. The good news is a Philippian jailer who is sleeping on his shift and then an earthquake happens. And he doesn't have any hope. And he knows that if I mess up, I'm just trying to make it. But if I mess up, I'm killed. And I don't want to be killed as a display. So I'm going to just do it here in the dark with my sword. He didn't have hope. And he knew that he had to measure up. And when he saw that he didn't measure up, it was going to be over. But guess what? Paul and Silas, they had a message for him that said, listen, first of all, we're all here. Okay, you're not going to be fired or killed. Second, this. The real need of your heart is to be reconciled to God, to be filled with his life, to know him in a relationship. And so they showed him you can have acceptance with God. You can be a part of this community that is set apart in this world. Yeah, there is much to look forward to. But you know what? The believers in Philippi were called this, the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. Do you know what you are, brothers and sisters? at Windsor Baptist Church? You are people who are set apart in this world because you've been put in a relationship in Christ Jesus by faith, by turning to Him and trusting Him. And so this grace and this peace is yours. The Apostle Paul doesn't say, I'm going to give you a little gift here. No, look, he says it's not from Paul. Look at what it says. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the saints at Windsor Baptist Church in Christ Jesus. And you know what is yours? Grace from God and peace from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Philippians is this. It's a letter to a local church, a lot like us. And what is it about? It's about a lot of things. It's about koinonia. There's a mission that we have. It's about life and death. It's about joy. It's about knowing who Christ is. It's about making Him known. It's about learning how to pray and being reconciled and loving one another as a community. And it is about joy in all kinds of circumstances, whether you're in prison or you're facing life or death. It's about all of these things. And it's built on this foundation, the person of Jesus Christ and what He has done for you and for me. What can we take from this? First of all, let this sink in. God's grace is for you now to know Him, to be filled with the goodness and the joy of knowing Him and knowing the penalty of sin is gone. The presence of sin, God gives us His grace to do away with it. And one day there will be nothing but pure joy in His presence for all those that believe in Him now. And in this world, we get to walk as strange people. It's not about ducking because of bells. You know what it's about? It's about being united to Christ Jesus and being given each other as a family. And in this world, we are strange people for that reason. So we have a lot to reap from this book in Philippians. But what I want us to see today is God forms us as a community. He did it. He brought you here. He opens your heart. He opened it to believe in Jesus, and he continues to open it with the good news of His grace and His peace. A people set apart and richly blessed in Christ Jesus. So that's what I want us to have sink in today, who we are and what we're about. Let it sink in that it's by God's grace and it's the peace that we enjoy as believers because of Him, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray.